friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. I'd like to welcome you to this one of our podcasts in our Walking with Jesus series. And this, I'm here with Donna Diedrich. Hello, say hello, Donna.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. And we're here. Actually, we're going to be talking about growing old in Christ, something most people would hope to be able to do. So we want, so I would like to share a scripture with you all from Luke chapter 2. It tells the story of Simeon and it tells the story of Anna. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And then down to 36, there's another person. It says, there also was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this time together. We thank you, Lord, for all the people that listen in to this podcast. Ask you to bless us in our conversation and bless us all our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Donna, I really am appreciative that you would go ahead and sign on for a podcast about growing old in Christ, because that means you're going to admit to your age.
Yes. That's fine.
So when and where were you born?
I actually was born in New Philadelphia on April 14th, 1942, and lived there the first 4 or 5 years of my life. And then my father moved us to McCollinsville, Ohio, which is 30-some miles south of Zanesville.
Oh, my. Okay, so, well then how long can you say you've been following Christ? How long have you been part of the church and believing in Christ?
I was raised by a mother who loved the Lord and loved His Word and loved church, mm-hmm. and she got me to McKendree Methodist Church over approximately 9 miles of gravel hilly roads. We didn't miss very many Sundays, and she was quite an influence on me through my life. And so McKendree Methodist Church laid a beautiful foundation in my life. And I continued going to church, but I did have a special meeting with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was about 28 or 29, when I was grumbling and murmuring because I was having a lot of trouble in my life, and I didn't understand why when I was a church goer and read that upper room and everything. Well, anyway, God in His mercy gave me a very dramatic episode where I never saw anything visually, but I had mental pictures of my sins, I mean, like selfishness and all these things. Mm-hmm. And it was so shocking to me. And I felt this horror, oh no, what will I do? And then I saw a picture of Jesus. And I realized I was one of those sinners that Jesus died for. So I accepted salvation right then. He gave me a love of the Word at that time. So ever since then, I have gone deeper and deeper with Him and walked with Him and depended on Him and His Word. And so, you know, I am not a computer person, but I've heard of the cloud. Yes. Well, imagine how God can, you know, use his cloud to show people these things. So this was very dramatic. And I appreciate that God did that. He didn't have to do that, but he surely got my attention. And I am just, praise God. I'm so thankful for Jesus and for the blood shed for me. And
So now that we're saying 79, you're 79.
Yes, I'll be 79 very shortly.
That's right, next month. But one of the things that comes with growing old is that I guess there's things we give up. Okay, if you ever jogged, you don't jog anymore, right? I can remember people who, there was a point in their life, it was my mom, she just stopped baking. She would have been a noted baker in her church. You know, you had always seen her. And then there was a day she put away her pans and she was done. But I'm interested that what you describe is there's still so much that you can do in this relationship with God. And because you can still sing to him, and you read his word, and you have that daily encounter with him. So I guess you always think about people being younger, maybe listening to this, or people being older, and not everybody who's older is having a great time. It can be depressing, I know. but I guess I want to tell them that, you know, no, your life doesn't have to go empty, you know, because there's less little jobs that you always did or activities that you might have enjoyed. In fact, you know, it doesn't have to be dull at all. But what are you still doing with God and for God at this point for you?
Well, daily, I spend time in his word, and I sing hymns from these old hymn books I've got there. And I pray to him and praise him. And I pray for others too. Yeah. I'm on the prayer chain. I receive the prayer requests and I take that very seriously. And I am happy to have the opportunity to do that. And I pray for anybody that God lays on my heart and such. And so, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed in my time, I've had some people who were well up in years, you know, pushing 100, or people also whose physical condition had got to where there's very little going on. And I have been moved to ask them to pray for me. I'm the pastor, you know, can you keep me in prayer? I am telling you, there's such a noticeable difference that happens after that person agrees, I will pray for you. I think God is, you know, looking at this lady who hardly ever leaves her chair, and she's lifting me up before the throne, and God says, oh, I love this prayer. I'm going to honor that prayer, you know, and you could just almost hear the bells in heaven ring once they begin for me. So as we go through life, I know as a guy, we identify ourselves by our jobs. What do we do for work? Or we identify, we think of ourselves as, what am I doing for my family? You know, or how on top of things we are. We follow the news or follow the sports. I guess I always wanted to say all that is not everything about life. In fact, it's not all that to be, it's overrated. You know, that even knowing what day of the week it is overrated. You're still, you know, a person is still wonderful because they sing, they pray, and they're kind, even if they lost track because each day is the same, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday. and just because you aren't right in the midst of something moving the tables or toting the loads, that doesn't mean you know that's only one side of of what we all do for God. So you have more than one hymn book at home then, right?
Yes, I do. I actually have one that Mother got from the Kindry Methodist Church there in McConnellsville. And I have some others. I have about three or four old hymnals. And I have noticed in the latest one that I got from a Bible bookstore, they changed the words in a lot of those old hymns. And I don't like that. I want the original words.
Right. You know, they've fiddled around with song hymn lyrics more than we think. There were hymn changes sometimes made 80 years ago just for one reason. But yeah, it's poetry. Don't change it. If you think it should be, have different words, write that as a song note. Don't mess with another one. But some of this, were they the camp meeting songs, some like the revival tent songs, or just the ones you always had in church?
For the most part, it's the church hymns from all my years of going. But there are choruses that I've learned in the past that come to me. Yeah. And I do have a little chorus booklet thing that the church secretary before Tammy had put together in the 1970s. Yeah. And I have that. And so if I want to sing one of those, it seems like I have songs laid on my heart that I will look at and, you know, and sing. It seems like the Holy Spirit is guiding me, you know.
And I think that's one thing in the scripture. You have Simeon hanging around the temple, you know, and he got one message from God. He would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Anna, there's even more detail about Anna just going about the temple, fasting, praying, you know, praising God and looking for God. So one thing is that these people being older, God had in no way stopped working with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, even though, you know, if there was something to be moved in the temple, they wouldn't have said, hey, let's get Simeon. Simeon might have been 98 years old. No, but God looked at him and said, this is somebody I want to, you know, have my presence close to, because it's going to be awesome. So if you think about it, Donna, are there special gifts that older members bring to a church? Would anything come to mind there?
Well, I can remember when I was younger and had children and went, at that time we lived in Lancaster, and we went to Lancaster Church, Methodist Church.
Methodist Church, yeah.
Mills Memorial, I think it was. Yeah. And there was an elderly lady, I think she was, her name was Elsie Bonebreak, and she apparently was a widow of a district superintendent at some point. And she would call me if she heard one of my kids was sick. You know, she got so she couldn't go to church, but she would call me or send me a card and say that she was praying. You know, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady and such a good example. And of course, at McKendree Methodist Church, there were older people, you know, when I was a kid or teenager and everything, there were older people there that really influenced me and such too, with their witness or their service or so. Yes.
So they do work first off as examples of how you're supposed to be a faithful disciple.
Yes.
I know my wife and I both have looked at people, sometimes older couples, and said, okay, that's who we hope we grow up to be someday, you know.
Yes.
That person. And then you can look at a man, you can look at a woman and say, oh, you know, if I can be anything like that, you know, and I've got a long way to go, I would tell myself, but their gifts or their character. I've found that for myself, some of our older members in the church, well, they do remember things. and they can sometimes, you know, they can bring some, well, they bring some perspective to a problem. It's not bad to say, oh, we've had this problem before. It's also saying, well, we had this problem before and we got through it. Mm-hmm. or even something like, if it's rare in my time that somebody's causing trouble in the church, but it's been helpful sometimes when I had an older member say, yeah, he pulled that 17 years ago, you know. Uh-huh. Well, okay, so now we learned a couple things, you know, so but and I've seen some of the older members also say in a time of some kind of crisis and said, we've been part of this church all this time, we will be here when this passes, you know. Mm-hmm. We get the storms of life and we get things and they get trouble us, but we'll be here. So So you had a lot of good examples of people who kind of formed you.
Yes, a lot of good examples. I don't know that I do that much anymore. I used to teach Bible study. But, you know, the brain is getting more pathetic and such. And so I don't attempt that anymore. But I certainly love the Word mm-hmm. and depend on the Word and depend on the Lord.
Yeah. And that's interesting. If you think a little bit, this is almost a bonus question, Donna. It's if you think about it, there's Simeon and there's Anna. You know, and so they're all those things we've talked about. They're a wonderful example to the faithful that are coming in the temple. They're a direct encouragement to Mary and Joseph, you know, the Holy Family. But if you think about it, they're in Luke chapter 2 and things are just getting going. Jesus has just been born. So you can only assume they didn't live much longer after that because they're old, you know. They're serving God, but they have less time of it to serve. but that seems all right. Why do you suppose it seems all right that they don't get to see the ministry of Christ or the cross? Would you agree that with my looking at that it's okay that they're allowed to be that way?
Yes, and I'm sure they went on to heaven and met Christ.
Yeah, I think. One thing is that our stories, your story is 78 and a half years long and mine 60 years long at this point, that an older Christian will remind us that our stories are part of a much bigger story. You know, that Simeon, for instance, and Anna just have this little bit, you know, they just a little appearance in the gospel and they say their thing. And then this, you know, the Luke goes on to other things. And but what I do or what any one person does doesn't have to bear the whole burden. We're already in the midst of things that God is doing in the world. And we have our part. Just sometimes a small part, I guess it's usually always a small part, you know. And we can then say, well, it's also all right if I get to the point in it and it stops. Because it was never my whole deal and my whole story at all. It's the thing that God is doing in the whole world and in the midst of our church. And so I really think that it's true like that. Now, I'll tell you something, Donna, though, that I value. A person like yourself who has grown old in Christ is you can do you think you have a good handle on how to speak to another older person, do you think? I mean,
probably. We're coming from the same place.
So because I know that I don't know where to go with it sometimes. If somebody says, oh, I've got these pains and there's been this difficulty and the sickness is so hard to get out and everything, and I'm hoping they can get to church, you know. And but I hate to say from my you know, in my young and strong years, well, I think you should just buckle down and get into church. I don't care if it hurts. but I've seen their sister in Christ turn to them and say, well, I have all those same problems and I get in here, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, we need it. Yeah. We need it. We need a church.
Yeah. So God has put, you know, he's taken this time you've been following him to bring people into your life. I think we talked earlier, God has put some wonderful friends in your life.
Yes. You want
to tell me a little about that then?
Well, as I had shared with you personally, and people that know me well know that my husband threw me aside to marry another woman when I was in my 40s and had two teenage children. And it was so traumatic and such, but God was with me. He led me to scripture right at the beginning and all through, and he was with me. And even though it's been a rough, rough time, he has carried me through. And so I can assure people that no matter what they're going through, God is with them.
And our, you know, our task, we kind of forget that, you know, we most people coming through Sunday school will say, well, I'm supposed to be a disciple. That means I'm following Jesus. Well, being a disciple means following Jesus through time, you know, one day after the next. And and we learn and we pick up, and he shows his faithfulness to us. And and I think in that scripture, Simeon and Anna both, if you try to picture that scene in your mind, we would look at Simeon or we would look at Anna if we were, you know, because, oh, look, how old is Anna? We're trying to calculate that. Oh, wow, that's a wonderful age. Or Simeon, how long has he been waiting? Simeon and Anna look at Christ. So if you think about it, they, you know, they're even the stronger example. It's natural to see the kindly elderly person that was so full of grace, but these same people point us to Christ.
And I'm so thankful God put that in the scripture.
Yeah.
You know, honored them by putting, seeing that that was in the scripture. That's encouraging to us. Elderly people.
Yeah. God will not forget us even to our gray hairs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I have some things in the front of my Bible here. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age. No, we know that he is still with us. And I copied this. I wrote it down from Moody Radio. It's hard to stumble when you're on your knees.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And I have a couple of memory verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Of course, that's Philippians 4:6. And then I also have cut out, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. So there are just so many, many beautiful encouragements in the word. And then I've written this in. I tread no path to him unknown. I lift no burden, bear no pain alone. My soul a calm, sure hiding place has found. The everlasting arms my life surrounds. And that was from Robert Browning. These things, I have got my Bible just full of these little clippings and things.
Well, I guess our lives are a little like that. You know, God keeps sending us, showing us things, and we tuck it in there in our heart, and it's so really no Christian is the same. We kind of grow, blossom, flourish, and bring unique gifts to because of what we've been doing in Christ and how we've responded to him. I often tell people, you know, the Christian life is anything but boring. you know.
Right.
Sin's rather repetitive and boring and gets tedious after a while, but the Christian life just keeps bringing something new all the time. So I thank you again for going ahead and being our example of an older person. Don't be shy about that. I have a good friend. He's in heaven now, and he was sick, and people would actually ask, his diagnosis was known, well, how long do you got? They would say, and he'd say, well, how long do you got?
You know? Well, none of us know, that's for sure.
We are here giving our time to God, and all we know is that we have on this earth daily less of it to give. And so there's yes. just that much more yes. urgency. Yeah.
But he walks with us and he is there for us.
Yeah.
We can depend on that.
So Donna, is there anything else you'd like to share with people? Because we kind of go, this is probably about as long as we expect a normal person to listen to us talk.
Well, I just want to encourage people to stay in the Word. Mm-hmm. And stay walking with God, and don't let sorrow rob you mm-hmm. of your walk with God, or pain or problems. Just keep on keeping on, as they say.
Well, that's good, and I'll tell you, I have been encouraged to talk to you today. So let me just throw one more thing. I didn't ask you before whether you would like to close in prayer, or would you like me to close in prayer? What do you think?
Well, I'll be happy to close in prayer.
All right. Well, we're going to close in prayer, and then we'll sign off. And so if you would go right ahead, Nana.
Oh, dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for the beauty of your creation that greets us every day. And thank you, Lord God, for your love that fills us and follows us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your servants like Pastor that serves you and serves others. Thank you, Lord God, for establishing the church. Lord, you knew that we needed the church. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord God, be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. Be glorified in our church. And Lord God, I pray for a new spiritual awakening to sweep across our land, Lord, for you have blessed America with so much. But Lord, we have largely left you behind. So I pray for a new spiritual awakening, Lord, to sweep across our land, to turn more hearts to Christ. And Lord God, bless this servant and his family, bless this church, and bless dear Tammy, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And so, friends, we're thankful, Donna and I, that you've been with us through this podcast. And this is the Walking with Jesus podcast we're doing here at the Broadway United Methodist Church. And we hope you'll join us for the sessions of this that will come after. So we just want to say goodbye and God bless, right?
Bye, Pastor.
Bye.